Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, March 16th. I'm Ray Graff. St. Patrick's Day is tomorrow, and to help you celebrate, we welcome Chef Drew Filipczyk of O'Slattery's Irish Restaurant and Pub in Delmar, New York, to the program. If you have a question about making the best Irish fare, give us a call. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. You can also email this program by emailing voxpop at wamc.org. But again, this is a call-in show, and we'd like your calls, too. Give us a call at 800-348-2551. Corned beef and cabbage, beer, your calls. It's coming up on a St. Patrick's Day edition of Food Friday after the news. Oh, hello. Thank you for turning my microphone on, Zachary the engineer. It's a Food Friday on this Friday. It's just the day before now, St. Patrick's Day. Ray Graff here with you. Our number is 800-348-2551. Well, you know, every St. Patrick's Day, we talk about Irish fare. And today we have a great bunch of guests in the studio here today. Drew Filipczyk is the chef at O'Slattery's Irish Restaurant and Pub in Delmar, New York. And he started the restaurant in business as a dishwasher and worked his way up. I'll be darned. After receiving his bachelor's degree in hotel, restaurant, and tourism management from SUNY Plattsburgh, he landed at O'Slattery's. Also here with us is the brains behind the operation, Liam Slattery, who is, I didn't even know he was coming, but it's great to have him here. The number is 800-348-2551. The great thing about Liam is he sounds like he might know something about St. Patrick's Day. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to have you guys here today. And the, by the way, the email address, if you want to email the program, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. First, a word about O'Slattery's. You know, it's in my neighborhood. Pretty nice.
Right. It's a
couple of years you've been in business now?
A little over 2 years now. We opened December 19th of 2016, so.
It's a nice place to have a beer in the neighborhood. So
right, that's good. That's the kind of general vibe that we try to get, you know, from the aspect of what we want to do in there is to reach that very comfortable social thing for people to hang out.
How did you end up in this neck of the woods, Liam? Come a little closer to the microphone.
My wife is originally from Delmar, so.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I met my wife in New York City. I was in New York City for almost 17 years, working the same industry down in New York City.
Yeah.
And eventually, we were just like trying to do our own thing, and just said, you know what, it's just like easier if we move to somewhere we have more help with kids.
Yeah.
Because we have four now, so.
That's fun, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun. A
lot of fun to raise multiple children here in dear old Delmar. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Chef Filipczyk, you went to SUNY Plattsburgh. Good for you.
Yeah, I did. It was a great time, great program. I really learned a lot over there. But, you know, the most valuable experience that I've ever had was definitely working in, you know, a bunch of restaurants, you know, because that's where you end up picking a lot, you know, and you take some techniques that you work from every place and you kind of incorporate it and figure out your own style, you know, so.
Being in that line of work, it's not for everybody.
No, definitely not. Definitely requires a lot of hours and long nights for sure.
So you gotta have that attitude, though.
Yeah,
some people wash out very like radio. They wash out very quickly. You gotta have the right tude to do the job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely. All starts with attitude, you know, because you know you don't have to have you know a lot of you know talent at first to you know get into a kitchen. You have to have the attitude to want to learn. You know, and you develop your own skills and techniques. You know, later on with that.
Liam, is he a tough employee?
No,
you're all right with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's as you said, it's a tough environment. It's a very small environment. You know, our kitchen is by no means anywhere huge, and he makes it work. You know.
Well, that's great. And by the way, speaking of Irish food, you know, the first thing you think of is boiled meat. You have a lot more than that.
A lot more than that.
Do you like the boiled meat?
But boiled ham is traditionally like so. If a corned beef is Ireland is more of a boiled ham, so we would call it like. Bacon and cabbage, but it's you know like ham, pieces of ham, which is more of a tradition in Ireland as opposed to corned beef and ham. Corned beef and cabbage became more of an American thing.
So why did that happen, do you think?
It happened way back when most of the Irish moved here to the States first. They immigrated here and they wanted to have the same kind of style of foods when they moved here, but bacon ham was so expensive that they couldn't keep buying it the whole time, and you couldn't eat it the whole time. So it's actually a corned beef came out that was a lot cheaper and easier to cook.
Ah.
Less time to cook and stuff as well. So
it's really more of an American thing.
Yeah.
All right. Our number is 800-348-2551. We have some great food. What'd you bring, Chef?
All right. So we brought a few different things here today. We've got our Reuben.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Irish tacos.
Yeah.
We've got our homemade cottage pie.
All right,
and,
stop. Irish tacos. Let's take a look, and you explain that one to me.
All right, yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, so the Irish tacos here, there's either two or three in an order. So what we do is we start off with a handmade flour tortilla shell.
Yeah.
As you can see right here, we throw that on the grill, you know, get it nice and warm, get the grill lines on there. And then we're going to start with some chopped romaine. We're going to put that in the bottom, and then we're going to continue to top it with our homemade coleslaw. And then from there, we put on our slow-cooked brisket, and then the corned beef. And then from there, we're going to top it with our Russian dressing, or Thousand Island, and then shredded cheddar cheese.
Oh,
and that's it right there.
Good heavens. All right. Yeah. We have a winner already.
Yeah.
Wow. How long do you cook the brisket?
Generally, depending on the size of the brisket, we'll pop it in for about like 12 to 14 hours.
Really?
Yeah. Really low heat. That's the key there. You know, anything that you're slow cooking that you really want to be like tender, almost like melt in your mouth, you want to get the internal temperature to reach about 180 degrees.
I mean, that's tricky from a turnover standpoint,
yeah,
in that you are selling product.
Right.
To cook something for 12 to 14 hours, that's got to be a little tricky for the bottom line.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it takes, you know, a little bit, you know, to, you know, adjust to that. But, you know, once you do, it's pretty easy. We throw it in at the end of the night. Let them sit in the oven, you know, all night. And then in the morning, you know, we'll come in, take them out, and get ready for the day.
So fantastic. We got a Reuben, and we have the Irish tacos. What else?
Yep. So we also have
Feel free to leave all those open, by the
way.
I might just dip in at some
Definitely.
Point during the show.
Please do.
Yeah.
All right. So over here, we've got our cottage pie.
Ah, the famous cottage pie. And how do you do a cottage pie?
All right. So how I do a cottage pie, what I'll do is I will cut my vegetables up. We're going to start with the carrots, and we're going to cut them up, and I'm going to throw them in a pan, saute them for a little bit, you know, get them nice and tender.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I'm going to transfer that into a large pot with a bunch of ground beef, like a 80-20 mixture.
You need enough fat to make that happen.
Yeah, exactly. You know, fat is all flavor, you know. So then what I'm going to do really is I'm going to put in some red wine, and I also put in one of our favorite red ales that we have on draft.
Which one is that?
That is the Bridget's Red Ale.
Well, I don't think I had that when I was over there.
Very good. That's our own signature brew.
That's our collaboration that we brew with Chatham Brewing Company.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No.
I know those guys from the Chatham Brewing Company.
Yeah.
I did not realize that they were collaborating with you on that.
Yeah,
what does it taste like? What's the flavor profile of that one?
So it's an Irish style red ale, like a session ale, so it's not like super high in alcohol.
Which I like.
It's got like a toffee taste to it, like an English kind of toffee taste to it, a little bit of coffee on the backbone, a little sweetness to it.
Right, but not too much hops. That's
no,
one thing
not
I
not
like about
hops.
the beer
Everybody
on that
to be
side
going
of
on the hot
pond.
Line, which is really good, too. All these IPAs are really good, but the session ale is easier, and it's very good to cook with, too. It's got a lot of flavor.
Yeah, I think hops are tough to cook with.
Yeah, they are really tough to cook with because, you know, at the end, you know, after it's all cooked down, you're really left with kind of a bitter taste, you know, depending on, you know, what you're cooking. So you definitely have to be really careful, you know, whenever you throw in beer to in anything you're cooking, which is why, you know, we put in this red ale. So that flavor really brings out the beef that's cooked in here.
Yeah.
And then after, so anyways, we've got our homemade slow-cooked brisket in here as well. So that's all mixed up together, and we'll put in a homemade beef gravy with that as well.
Yeah.
A little bit of tomato paste, and mix it all together, and we'll top that off with our homemade mashed potatoes.
Oh, fantastic. So far, everything that you have shown me is looking like it wants to be eaten very soon. What's in that one?
So this right here, we've got our homemade harp fish and chips. The fish that we get, we start with cod, and that comes in 4 times a week. I get that fresh, like very, very frequently. Comes right in from Boston. I work with a lot of vendors from out there. So what we do is we'll cut them up into good chunks, and We'll put that in our batter, which is of course heart beer, and a flour mixture. So we'll dredge it, and then we'll drop it in there, and drop it in the fryers, and that's in at 350 degrees, so pretty hot. So, you know, there's a fine line between, you know, cooking the fish, you know, just enough, and then not enough too. You know,
that's a quick fry, though, right?
Yeah, it is. You know, because fish is very delicate. You don't want it to be, you know. You want the outside to be crisp, but the inside to be nice and, you know, soft.
Absolutely.
And flavorful. So,
go ahead. Take the whole thing there, sir.
I think he's making it for you.
Oh, making it for me? Oh, yeah. I'll be darned. Now, are other people like me? I like to put a little vinegar on mine. Is that common?
Yeah, definitely very common. Malt vinegar is great.
Yep.
I actually, before I came here over to O'Slattery's, I never used malt vinegar.
Really?
Yeah, Liam turned me on to it, and I love it. I don't eat fries without that anymore.
Absolutely. All right, well, listen, we'll take a call or two here, but let's have some food. We'll take a break. Zach the engineer, let's take a break now, and then we'll get to the phones. We are here with Drew Filipczyk and Liam Slattery of O'Slattery's in Del Mar. It's a St. Patrick's Day edition of the program, 800-348-2551. Your call's coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout western Massachusetts, blueherondining.com/catering. Coldham and Hartman Architects, serving residential and institutional clients with architecture designed for resilience and renewability. Designed for the next 100 years, c&harchitects.com. Field Goods, local produce from the Hudson Valley, delivered weekly to workplace and community locations, helping people change the way they eat while supporting small sustainable farms, field-goods.com. And Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, Old South Street, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Dairy and no-moo dairy-free, handmade artisan ice cream, sweet baked goods, hot fudge, and more, harolds.com.
Welcome back to a Food Friday edition of Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. The fish and chips, fabulous. Got a Reuben here, which I won't be able to eat until the 40 break, but still, it looks great. We are here with the folks from O'Slattery's Irish Restaurant at Pub in Del Mar. Drew Filipczyk is the chef, and Liam Slattery is the head honcho there. So how are you enjoying Del Mar?
Love it.
You've been there a few years now?
Yeah, we've been here for 3 years now.
It's a great place.
Yeah, it's a great place.
And, oh boy, okay, this one came in via email from Ryan. I love those Irish tacos. Has all that construction had a negative impact on your business? That's Ryan in Del Mar. There was a lot of road work.
There was a lot of road work, but it's like anything. It's better for the town. It's going to be better for O'Slattery's in the long run. It's going to make a lot more foot traffic in the area. So it's like anything. It's a pain for a while, but then it's done, you know, so.
All right, let's go to the phones, 800-348-2551. If you have an Irish cooking question for our experts here today, let's go to John in Saugerties. John, you're on.
Good afternoon. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
All right, listen, every year we make the corned beef, sometimes twice a year. We've got this crock pot that's been sitting around. We're just looking at it. We're tempted to give that a try. Any recommendations on that or stick with the pot?
You talk, chef. I'm going to fix headphones here.
Yeah, all right. So if you're using a crock pot cooking your corned beef, you're definitely going to want to cook it at the lowest temperature possible, really. I always set my ovens to 200 degrees, so you're definitely going to want to start there. Also, too, you're going to want to add a little bit of moisture content in there, too. We flavor our corned beef with Guinness. You could choose whatever you really wanted to do with that. And we'll cut a couple onions up and throw those in there as well. And generally, your corned beef, it'll come with like a seasoning packet, too. Definitely throw that on there because it adds to quite a bit of flavor as well. And you're going to want to cook that corned beef until it's very, very tender. I mean, it should literally be falling apart as you're trying
to
pick it up.
Exactly.
All right.
It's okay to give it a try, then.
All right, definitely. John, thanks for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. I got to be honest with you. as a boy growing up, had an awful lot of bad corned beef. It's it would seem to be simple to make, and yet it would be difficult to master, I think.
It's definitely tough trying to figure out that perfect equation to cook that corned beef. I think a lot of people either cook it way too much or not enough. If they cook it too much, what's going to happen is that salt will really, really infuse with that beef, and it will be just ungodly salty, make it really, really impossible to eat there.
Our number is 800-348-2551. It's a St. Patrick's Day edition of A Food Friday, and Jerry in Saratoga is next. Jerry, you're on.
Hi there. I had a question about a corned beef recipe. My grandmother is off the boat, kind of Irish, and we seem to have lost the recipe over the years, and I'm looking to cook for about 8 people tomorrow, and I was wondering if you had any tips for a really authentic corned beef recipe.
Definitely. So question is, how are you going to be cooking it? Are you going to be using your oven, or are you going to be doing a crock pot?
We've got a pretty big crock pot to be using. I'm looking to make it, get it ready in about 8 hours. If that's going to be possible, but if I need to use the oven, I can.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the size of the brisket that you're going to be buying. If it's anything over 15 pounds, you're definitely going to want to put it in the oven. And it's going to take a little bit more than 8 hours. So really get it to the point that you want it to be at, because you want it to be very tender when you're eating it. I would say if you have like a smaller brisket, around 10 pounds, maybe under that, you could definitely cook it in the crock pot. If you want it to have it to be set at 200 degrees, I've said it before, but that's always the magical temperature for us. That's what's really worked. So if you do it that way, you definitely can't go wrong.
What temperature?
200.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
always
pretty low.
Yeah, it is very low, but that's definitely the secret to really, breaking down that beef. And you want to slowly bring it up to temperature, because if you try to cook it quickly, it will end up being way too tough.
Even in a crock pot.
Even in a crock pot, I wouldn't crank it all the way. I would keep it, at a relatively low temperature.
And just take your time.
Yeah, basically. Take your time with it. It's definitely key.
Jerry, you want to follow up?
No, that's pretty good. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Have a great weekend. 800-348-2551 is the number. St. Patrick's Day tomorrow. We are celebrating here on A Food Friday with Liam Slattery and Drew Filipczyk. And let's go to Michael in Huntington. Michael, you're on.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I love your show.
Thank you.
I called in once before on Thanksgiving.
You call for all the holidays, do you? Good.
Yeah, I love this show, but now I'm a foodie myself. I got 200 cookbooks.
All right.
I only weigh 180 pounds, but
Well, you must be eating well then. Good for you.
Oh, yes.
All right.
And I got a suggestion for you for corned beef.
Okay.
To marinate it in 2 quarts of water and 2 cups of honey overnight outside in the cold, and no salt, but lots of pepper. And it comes out excellent.
All right, chef, what do you think of that one?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, everybody's got their own technique. It seems like it's worked, well for you. It's definitely something that we could, check out.
It's not
out.
Too sweet either. It's
no.
Not sweet.
Yeah, definitely not. No,
it
that
breaks it down.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, when it goes in the oven. Yeah,
You don't want to marinate it in any salt at all?
No, honestly, because the corn.
It's got its own salt.
Corn right, beef. Because the corned beef is already naturally, when it's brined, there's going to be a ton of salt in there anyway. So.
Yeah.
Well, good job, Michael.
Awesome.
Thank you, sir.
Definitely have to check out that tip.
Thank you.
Hey, have a great weekend and a great St. Patrick's Day. Our number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551 if you want to call in today on our Food Friday St. Patrick's Day edition. Anita in Hyde Park. Anita, you're on. Go ahead. You can have a bite, Jeff.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I have a question about cooking corned beef in a pressure cooker.
Aha.
I mean, I've done a lot of pot roast and stuff in that, and it comes out very tender. And also, besides doing it in a pressure cooker, I know the round cut is leaner, but I guess the flat cut is tenderer.
Yeah, well,
I don't know.
Right. Basically, with the flat cut, you're going to want to make sure that you have a good amount of fat on there. I mean, the brisket is naturally a fattier part of the beef. And basically what that does is, like, the fat will protect that meat from, like, you know, cooking too much. And the fat will also kind of, like, infuse with that beef to give it the flavor. It'll make it really nice and tender, too.
Okay. And, I mean, do you know, have you had an experience doing that in a pressure cooker?
Honestly never cooked it in a pressure cooker form. I've always done it.
I know if I do beef, that the chuck cut is better because of the fat.
Right.
So that's what, I was thinking about. But that the brisket cut would be better then, right?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, the brisket cut, okay. I always definitely recommend that, for sure.
All right.
Okay.
Well, great. Thanks, right, Anita.
Thank you so much.
Have a great weekend.
All right, take care.
800-348-2551, the number. You ever do much cooking in a pressure cooker?
I've honestly never done any cooking in a pressure cooker.
They scare
before.
The hell out of me.
Yeah.
You know, and we've done shows on this before with experts, and
yeah.
They say you're completely out of your mind. This is not your grandmother's pressure cooker anymore.
No.
That'll explode your kitchen.
Yeah.
And I guess you cook very quickly in those things.
Yeah, it definitely will cook it very quickly. You know, I'm always with everything about, you know, taking my time with it.
Yeah. I'm sure that makes the boss very pleased.
Yeah.
Our kitchen is like a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
I bet it is. I bet it is. All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Jennifer in Saratoga Springs. Jennifer, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I have a question about the cuts of corned beef. When I go to the grocery store, I don't always know what's better ones to have, which one has more fat or more taste or mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, a lot of the corned beef that you're gonna buy that's in the store. I mean, it depends on where you're going to go. But I mean, most of the cuts are relatively going to be. I mean, not all the same, but you can see, like, you want to pick the ones out that have a decent, like, amount of fat on there. I mean, you can really see it. There should be, like, a good fat cap right on the actual corned beef itself, you know. Like I said, I don't know what stores, you know, you're going to, but where do you normally...
Well, if I go to, like, a Hannaford or a Price Chopper, sometimes they'll look, you know, like, kind of relatively flat, or sometimes they'll seem much fatter, or definitely I notice the fat on top that you just mentioned. And I was thinking, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
Yeah, no, that's definitely a good thing, because what happens is when you buy, like, a really trim cut, it's really, like, tough to cook that and to make it, you know, really, really tender, because that's always, mm-hmm. like, the key here. And I said earlier in the show, the fat definitely, it really protects that beef. So you want to make sure that you have, like, a good amount of fat on there, because, you know, at the end, obviously, you're not going to be eating that. You're going to be pulling that mm-hmm. apart from the corned beef, and you'll have, you know, nice tender, you know, fall off the, you know, fall right off and apart corned beef. So that's definitely the key there, for sure, when you go and buy it.
And can I ask a quick follow-up?
Sure.
So you were talking about putting it at a temperature of 200. Are you
yeah.
talking about putting that in the oven?
Yeah, I put that
at
in
200?
The...
200, because I usually would boil or use a crock pot, so I'd like to hear a little bit more about that.
Right, yeah. So I always prefer to put it in the oven, number one, because our briskets are pretty big, you know, mm-hmm. so I wouldn't want to try to fit that in a crock pot. But then also to the oven, it's worked the best for us, because what we'll do is we'll put that in a big container, and the key there is wrapping it up with some Saran wrap on the top, and then you're going to also wrap it with aluminum foil, and that's going to keep it so that the moisture will stay in the corned beef as it cooks, mm-hmm. and it's not going to dry out. That's another huge part of it there too.
Great. Good. Thank you so much for answering my questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks,
take care. Good luck.
Jennifer, I should say. Our number is 800-348-2551. We have Drew Filipczyk here from O'Slattery's and Liam Slattery. Liam, you ever go back to the old country?
Yes, I normally go back twice a year to visit my family and stuff. But since my mother has passed away, we don't go back as often. It was like more of an immediate to go back to see her the whole time with our kids. But, I mean, we still go back once a year.
Well, the reason I ask is, you know, American, we have an idealized version, an Americanized version of what the Irish fare really is. But when you go to back home, what's on your table? What's a common meal?
Apart from Guinness, you mean?
Well, of course. That's breakfast. What about for dinner?
I mean, Ireland is a wide open amount of different foods. Like a lot of fresh food. Like seafood is huge in Ireland.
A classic Irish meal.
Right. I mean, like beef stew is classic. My mother's beef stew is phenomenal.
Yeah.
A lot of traditional recipes. We used to do a lot of lamb when we were. My mother used to do a lot of lamb dinners, and stuff. Like lamb's very big in Ireland.
It was much bigger here too, I think, when I was a kid too, in the 70s.
Probably, right? Yeah. I mean, it's huge, but then again, sometimes lamb can be so expensive too, so it's like people don't do this often. Mm. My mother used to feed all of us a good breakfast every morning, and then it was like, you know, you were good till like dinner time. Sometimes.
You didn't have Lucky Charms though, right?
Lucky Charms I never seen until I came to the States.
Okay, and weren't you lucky not to have seen it? All right, let's go back. Not that there's anything wrong with Lucky Charms before our legal
We have
department.
A dessert of Lucky Charms.
Do you really?
Yeah, for kids.
All right, let's go on over to Penny in Delmar. Penny, you're on.
Hi. I love your program. I just wanted to say my Irish grandmother taught me to do my corned beef in the pressure pot, and it's awesome. And you follow the recipe in the book. My book says to add 2 cups of liquid, and then you just do it for 60 minutes, and you let the gauge go down by itself. And then I take that liquid, and you only put like a half a cup in the pressure pot, and I put my cabbage, potato, and carrots in and do that, and they come out with the flavor of the meat, but they're not greasy.
Huh.
So it really works.
What liquid are you using?
I use beer.
What kind?
Guinness, if I have it.
Guinness, yeah. Same
Perfect.
As us.
There you go.
Yeah, and it also says to add a clove of garlic and a bay leaf.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, definitely doing that. We'll add a little bit of more depth.
Yeah,
more
I put slices
the
in the corned beef and tuck the garlic in that.
Yep, perfect.
Beautiful.
So anyway, I just thought I'd share that.
Yeah,
well, thanks,
thank you very
Penny.
Much.
We appreciate it. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. It's Food Friday. And we are doing a St. Patrick's Day edition with Drew Filipczyk and Liam Slattery of O'Slattery's Irish Restaurant and Pub in Delmar. And back to the phones, Kernan in Glenville, you're on.
Hello, top of the afternoon to y'all.
Okay.
Same to you.
That's a combination of Irish and Southern accents.
Right, that was very impressive.
Yeah, well, I don't have a question, but I do have a suggestion.
All right.
And I like to make Culcannon using carrots also. Because, you know, on the Irish flag, there's the colors of green and white and orange. So to make it more green than regular cabbage, I put in kale.
Oh, okay.
And as far as the beef is concerned, well, you know, a little bit of that now and then.
Sure.
But, you know, in the old country, they didn't use, they didn't use corned beef as far as I know.
No.
They used beef steeped in red wine.
Hmm.
Very expensive.
Yeah, definitely.
Can't lose with that, though. That's great.
Well, yeah, but over here, when my ancestors came, they didn't, they weren't very well healed.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you, and we appreciate the call. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. The chef with the very healthy appetite is here, Drew Filipczyk. Well,
he's
digging
eating
in.
All the food.
I know. I'll tell you, that's very good. He likes his own cooking. So
I love it.
But I must keep the overhead fairly high at the old restaurant, huh?
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's some give and take there, but...
I could match him on the quantities of food you eat.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah?
You don't pay him in food, do you?
No,
just in beer, but, you know.
Not a bad idea. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Let's take a quick break. I got to eat some food. Zach, the engineer, has got to come over and get some food. So we will get some underwriting out of the way and come back on a Food Friday, 800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from Spirit House Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world, wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. Personal Wine Cellar, Glenville, family-owned business since 2011, offering a selection of wines, spirits, and libations, home of the cellar dweller, monthly scotch and bourbon tastings, home delivery available, 518-399-9463. and Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, featuring over 80 local farms and fresh food vendors every week all winter long. Open every Saturday, 9 to 2 in the Troy Atrium, troymarket.org.
Welcome back to Vox Pop Food Friday, St. Patrick's Day edition. Ray Graff here with you at 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Liam Slattery and Drew Filipczyk of O'Slattery's Irish Restaurant and Pub in Del Mar. The Reuben is fantastic. Zach, the engineer, just came in and grabbed a huge slab of it. All right, you better work for that, Zach. Tell us about how you put this Reuben together. This is one of the best ones I've had in a long time.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. So your Reuben is always going to start with bread. That's definitely the key.
Good bread, having, though.
Yeah, really good bread. I get, you know, nice, thick, panini cut marble rye bread. Love it. So basically, we're going to butter that up, and we're going to throw that on the grill, get it nice and crisp. After that, you're going to put on your Thousand Island or Russian dressing, whatever you
right.
like to call it.
We don't say Russians too much on the radio nowadays. Only like every 8 minutes you'll hear Russian. So we'll call it Thousand Island for today.
Yeah, all right. So we're going to put the Thousand Island on there. After that, you are going to put your cheese on there.
Yeah.
We're going to put some Swiss on there. We're going to get that, you know, let that melt up all nice. And then we're going to put the red kraut on the bottom. And once your corned beef is nice and hot, we're going to top that on there, pile it, I should say. And then you're going to fold it and cut it. That's it.
It's got some sweetness to it. This is just a little spice. It's a beautiful job on this.
Thank you.
Our number is 800-348-2551. Let's dispatch with a couple of emails first. This one came in from Alice. What do you think about corned beef in the sous vide?
Oh, wow. Corned beef and the sous vide. Sous vide is becoming a really popular thing. A lot of people are using it. I think it's a really, really cool machine. I haven't personally used it too much, but it'll basically bring the water temperature to whatever, you know, you're doing up to exactly where you want it, and it'll hold it there.
Right.
Which is,
doesn't it take a long time to cook that way?
Yeah, I could imagine it would probably take a long time to cook that way. Again, it just depends on, you know, size of the, you know, corned beef or whatever you're cooking in there, you know. But I know a lot of guys that will, like, you know, par cook their steak on there.
Yeah.
And then throw it on the grill, just put the lines on there.
Get
and
some
it comes
smoke
out.
In there.
Yeah, just, I mean, perfectly.
All right. This one came in from Mark in Hyde Park, and he writes, so why does shepherd's pie always have beef in it? Seems a misnomer. That's right. It should have shepherd's in it. My mother always makes it with leftover leg of lamb, and that's from Mark in Hyde Park.
Yeah, well, actually, traditionally, shepherd's pie will actually have lamb in it, but, you know, the cottage pie is another version of it, and we just do, you know, ground beef and brisket. So there are two different kinds of dishes right there, but, yeah, definitely the shepherd's pie will absolutely have lamb.
That cottage pie looks amazing.
Yeah, it is.
If you're watching,
good.
You can watch this at WAMC.org. Click on live video. Liam is here sort of just nodding along. But you can watch him, and the cottage pie looks amazing. So that has both ground beef and
so that's got
brisket.
Ground beef and brisket.
Oh my heavens!
Well. Yeah, it's very good, and it's all low fat too. So you know, don't feel
because that's
when
a big concern.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, this one came in from Alan in Colony. It is my understanding lamb stew would be the most authentic fare in Ireland. As far as I know, beef of any sort would be rare, as most beef there would have been reserved for the English landlords. Thus, lamb stew would be the most authentic Irish dish. That comments on that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, I'll let Liam chime in here, too. But definitely, you know, we are an Irish pub in Del Mar. You know, we're going to bring a lot of authentic Irish dishes with us. But also, too, you have to look at the people that you're serving as well. So, you know,
right.
we're, you know.
Right. And it's like... I've never really had a lamb stew, say per se, as a beef stew has been more known for me. So I mean, I'm sure people did give their beef to the king or whatever
back in the day.
Yeah, but I think it's more of a nowadays. It's more of a beef stew. Beef stew is a lot more for me, and it's always a kind of a hearty dish.
I'm with you there. All right, this one came in from Dick in Holland Patent, who says it's just seconds from East Floyd, one of my favorite towns. Dick writes, "Got any suggestions for the cabbage? Any special recipes? I just cut it into wedges and cook it in the water with the corned beef during the last hour of cooking."
I mean, that's definitely a great technique there. I mean, I'll always add, once again, we love using beer in our cooking. I do anyways. And I'll put Guinness in the water to give it a little bit more flavor. Put a little bit of salt in there too. You definitely want to, you know, you don't want to overdo it on cooking the cabbage. You don't want it to be, you know, really, really mushy. You want it to be just, you know, nice and tender, you know, have a little bit of body to it as well. But I mean, you're definitely right on track with you know, how you're cooking it.
Speaking of beer, Liam, how many beers do you have? My memory's a little hazy of the time I was in there last, and I remember you had a great selection.
That's a good thing. We have 20 beers on tap. You know, we have some of our go-tos for an Irish bar, like Guinness and Smithwick's and Kilkenny from my hometown and stuff, and then and Harp and that. And then we have a lot of other beers that we have that we carry, which are a lot of craft beers. We have three of probably the top 10 craft beers in the country. Two are from New York. One is Grimm and one is Other Half, are both from Brooklyn.
Which one is from Brooklyn?
Grimm. Grimm Artisanal Ales and Other Half.
Other Half, no, I haven't had that one.
And then we also have Hill Farmstead, which is like these beers are like cult following, like, you know, beer cult following. Hill Farmstead is from Grasberg, Vermont. Grasberg, Vermont. Hill Farmstead was voted by ratebeer.com as the best brewery on the planet.
What's the most popular one that you serve? Guinness?
Guinness. We sell a lot of Guinness all day, every day. But then again, like these craft beers like Grimm and Hill Farmstead, we have like people who call us up and like...
Really?
Yeah, call up on a Friday night and say, hey, we're coming down. We got guys who come every Friday night from Saratoga saying, hey, we're going to come. What Grimm are you pouring right now, or what Hill Farms do you have right now?
I'll have to try that next time I'm out to the shop and... You know, a year or two when I get out. Let's go to Alice in Belchertown. Alice, you're on.
Hi, thanks so much. A quick question on the baking method. Did you say you put saran wrap over the roast, over the corned beef, and then aluminum foil, and then you bake it for the 8 to 10 hours? Is that what you were saying?
Yes, we do. We'll, the reason for that being is you really want to keep the moisture in the corned beef as you're cooking it.
Regular saran wrap.
I mean, we use heavy-duty commercial saran wrap, you know, meant for the kitchen, you know, to withstand, you know, higher temperatures for longer periods of time. So definitely.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely try it out. You will be amazed for sure at how tender the beef is when you pull it out.
Huh.
Thanks so much. And another quick thing, if you buy the corned beef in the grocery store, sometimes you get a little flavor packet.
Yes.
Like pickling spices.
Yep.
Do you use those or not?
Yeah, actually, we put together, you know, that spice in our kitchen, but, you know, definitely take that out and use that in there for sure. That'll definitely give it a lot of added flavor.
So you say you make that in your kitchen. What goes into it?
So we do. There's cloves in there. There's some garlic in there. There's a, you know, a bunch of other things in there too, you know, just salt, pepper. So the, you know, the packets, they're nice, you know, cause they'll be, you know, standard every time. I put a couple other, you know,
secret ingredients. Oh really? You won't say there. Chocolate syrup or anything?
Definitely no chocolate syrup, okay. But it's,
just checking.
Yeah.
Now let's go to John in Clifton Park. John, you're on.
Hey fellas, Sláinte.
Sláinte.
What does that mean?
The reason I'm calling.
Cheers.
Well, oh, cheers. Okay, good.
Yep.
Cheers.
Right.
The reason I'm calling, when I was a kid, my dear old dad, he used to take leftover mashed potatoes, and the next day we'd make potato patties with them, you know? And I've tried making them, and I just can't get the consistency and the get them to stick together the way he used to. I was wondering if you guys had any tips on that.
Potato patties.
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely it starts off when you're making your mashed potatoes too. You know, obviously you're either going to use a milk or cream in there. The key is definitely not putting in too much liquid from the get-go, because if you do, I mean, it's going to be really, I mean, you're essentially never going to be able to get that liquid back out. So you're definitely going to want to, you know, watch the amount that you put in there, so that the next day, you know, when it goes in the fridge, you know, it will naturally, you know, dry out, you know, a little bit. You just got to watch the liquid that you put in there, you know, because the less, you know, liquid, definitely, you know, the more moldable and pliable. So,
all right,
a quick one for you. My dad used to always keep our boiled potatoes after dinner, so he would cut them or keep them, and then for the next morning, he would slice them up like finger thickness, and we would put them on the pan in the morning for breakfast, like just with cook them with butter.
Oh, yeah,
and they're like just like fried potatoes, are so
man,
good.
You're making my mouth water just thinking about it.
Hey, John, thank you for the call, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Thank you for calling the program. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Drew Filipczyk and Liam Slattery of O'Slattery's Irish Restaurant and Pub in Del Mar. I guess this will be a pretty big night. Tonight, tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. We have live entertainment tonight, and we normally have live entertainment four nights a week, Wednesday through Saturday. Every week we have live entertainment. But this week has just been great, you know. Publicity like this and stuff, it just brings people out, and everyone wants to be celebrate St. Patrick's Day, which is a great thing, you know.
All right, let's go to Mary in Malta. Mary, you're on.
Well, hello, how are you?
Hello.
And thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm a lamb person. My folks came over generations ago, so we were from the time when lamb was for everybody and beef was for the gentry. But I can't find decent lamb stew anywhere. Do you have some tips on making it? And also, once in a while, a restaurant will have lamb shanks, which is a reasonable substitute. Would you recommend that as for me, a reasonable substitute?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, as far as your lamb is considered, you know, it also too depends on, you know, the kind of consistency and texture that you're looking for. You know, you could always use like, you know, some ground in there if you want to. The lamb shanks are great as well. And then it just depends on, I guess, you know, how you're cooking your lamb stew. Because everybody, you know, with every recipe, you know, always does it, you know, slightly different. I don't know if you had anything, you know, in mind of how you wanted it to come out.
I'm not, because my mother died with her recipe.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
The nerve.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of great recipes out there. You know, we don't do you know a classic lamb stew. So I'm trying.
What about just lamb shanks? Maybe with some carrots or something.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, you could do any options. You could like slow cook it, like Drew was saying, or you could boil it. It just all depends on what way you want to do it.
Well, thank you so much. My mother was 98, so it isn't like I didn't have a chance to ask her.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Mary, you can figure it out. And
I'm still pissed. What can I say?
Well, it's been said. Rosemary Arameo used to say that all the time. But we try not to say that word on the show. Oh, boy. That's 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. It's all right, Zach. If Rosemary Arameo can say it, everybody can say it, but nobody else on this program. Chris in Chicopee. Chris, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
My 100% Polish-American mother made fantastic corned beef and cabbage. But I needed to make a meal for a group of people, and what I did is I made corned beef and cabbage gołąbki. I cooked the leaves of the cabbage and then wrapped all the ingredients that I cooked the corned beef in, the carrots and onions and potatoes, and rolled it up inside and made little stuffed cabbage.
Oh, my God, that sounds great.
Cabbage. There were none left.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Sounds
recipe.
Good.
It came out really good. And the other recipe for corned beef that I got that I thought was fantastic was mixing brown sugar, mustard, and a jam, like apricot jam together, and covering the cooked meat and baking it in the oven till it was brown and crispy. That was really good.
Wow. Yeah, no, that does sound definitely very good. You know, you got a lot of different flavors going on there. You know, you've got the sweetness from the brown sugar, and then you've got you know a little the mustard definitely gives it a little bit of a bite to it too, which is pretty cool.
So those are my things, and I could go on about lamb forever. We fortunately have a lot of Middle Eastern grocery stores around here, so it's easy to get.
Oh, well, there
you go.
Good for you,
Chris. Hey, Chris, those are great ideas, and I'll bet you Drew took a few notes here, so thank you very much.
I did. Thank you very much.
Be my guest.
Thank you, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you and over. Let's see, who's been waiting longest? Let's go to Glenn in Ohio. Ohio? Glenn, are you really in Ohio?
New York.
Ohio, New York. Ah, okay, fine. Well, you're on the air.
Yeah. Anyways, guys, I was in a delicatessen the other day down in Barneveld, New York.
Okay.
And they were advertising raw corned beef, and I'm like, "What is raw corned beef? Is that just uncooked?" But they had a big sign, "Raw corned beef." Is there some difference?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely if it's raw corned beef, basically because, you know, for St. Paddy's Day especially, everybody's got their own different, you know, techniques and ingredients of how they're going to cook their corned beef. So, you know, I think a lot of, you know, food stores will definitely advertise the raw corned beef, you know, to market it out there so that, you know, everybody can buy the raw corned beef because that's, of course, you know, your base and what you're going to start with right there, you know, and how you cook it and how you flavor it is really up to you. So, yeah, definitely when it says raw corned beef, it's just going to be the whole raw.
So don't eat
it
right out of the package.
No, definitely not, unless you're feeling pretty daring, you know.
I've never seen that advertised like that before. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Glenn. Problem. We appreciate it. And over to Matt in Mechanicville. Matt, you're on.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
My question is, I want to attempt corned beef in a pressure. What's your thoughts on that?
You said attempt corned beef in a pressure cooker, Matt?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, everything that, you know, personally, I don't have too much experience using a pressure cooker and not even cooking corned beef in there because we always do it in our ovens. But from what I've been hearing from, you know, some people that have been chiming in on the show as well as my own, you know, research that I've done is that, you know, a pressure cooker will cook it pretty quickly, you know, depending on the size of the brisket that you're using. So I mean, yeah, it just depends how many people are you planning on cooking for?
Between 8 and 10.
Yeah. Do you already have a pressure cooker or are you looking to buy one?
No, I already have one.
Oh, you already have one. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it just depends on, you know, how many people are eating, you know, what size, you know, brisket you're going to want to get. I mean, for that many people, you'll probably want to buy, you know, at least a 10-pound brisket because it's definitely going to cook down. And, of course, you've got your fat on there, too. But, yeah, so.
Well, good luck with that, Matt. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. And Ralph in Greenfield, Massachusetts. Ralph, you're on.
Hey there. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
All right, great. Hey, first off, Ray, thank you for the St. Francis on the bumper music. Boy, you know, he got a bad rap as a clown in the United States because of his disdain for his American audience.
You know,
he was one of the greatest composers of the 20th century.
Ralph, so, brilliant that you picked up the Zappa. And actually, that is Ed Palermo's big band doing Frank Zappa, which is it's even more of a revelation.
Nice job.
But we digress.
Nice.
All right, go ahead.
Yes, we digress. Okay, my question is about corned beef. Now, a friend of mine usually does dinner for us and maybe four people with leftovers. What type of corned beef should she be thinking of, and how long does that get cooked?
You figure if everybody, it depends on their appetite and whatnot, but if they're going to be eating, I'd say like a good size portion will probably be, you know, 8 ounces for each person. I think like an eight to 10 pound brisket would probably be sufficient there. Because you're going to lose some of that weight, you know, to fat. And then, of course, it's going to have, you know, some pump in it, which is fluid. So, you know, you're probably going to end up getting, you know, between like 6.5 to 7 pounds from it, give or take. So that would definitely be sufficient with leftovers as well.
Okay. And is that still 200 degrees at 12 hours?
Well, no, it won't be 12 hours. 12 hours is what we do because we're cooking, you know, a larger brisket, like an 18 to 20 pounder.
Right.
So you're going to want to do 200 degrees. If it's a 10 pound brisket, you're going to want to do about, you know, 5 hours.
Okay.
On that.
All right, Ralph, we got to go there and let's go quickly to Gene. Gene, you only have about 20 seconds here. Go ahead.
Okay, Grandma used to make Irish soda bread with just plain old white flour, nothing fancy. I keep looking for recipes. They all call for wheat flour. Do you folks have a genuine recipe for Irish soda bread?
Actually, to be honest, we don't have it. We don't make. We buy ours in from local, and she does. She's actually won awards for her soda bread.
Okay,
she's actually in Albany.
Who's that?
Linda from Bake for You.
Oh. She's been on this program many times.
Right. She has. We have our cupcakes from her, too, for tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know what I'm going to do tomorrow. All right. Thank you very much, Gene. We appreciate it. Okay. So this was fun. How do people find out on the World Wide Web about Oslattery's? Do you have a website?
Yes, we have a website, oslattery's.com, and we are very much active on social media between Instagram, Facebook.
That's your wife's department, yeah?
That's my wife's department, yeah.
All right. And where are you on Facebook?
We have our own Facebook page, Oslattery's.
Do you have a, just says Oslattery's?
Yep.
Okay. Oslattery's on Facebook, yeah. And there's always, you know, daily updates with what specials that we're running, you know, and live music that'll be on there. So, yeah.
Well, guys, thanks for being here. Support comes from Gloriosa & Company, hosting weddings at the Curtis House in Ashfield, Massachusetts, with on-site guest accommodations, local floral design, and weekly summer flower CSA shares also available, GloriosaCo.com. Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats, home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days, Pekarsky's.com. And the Black Sheep Deli, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee, BlackSheepDeli.com. Thanks again to Drew and Liam from Oslattery's Irish Restaurant for being with us today. Thank you for the great calls. Have a lovely St. Patrick's Day holiday. Thanks to Zachary Malloy, our engineer. Barb King took the calls. Jim Lavoulis is the producer. I'm Ray Graff. Alan will be back in the big chair on Monday for a Medical Monday. Be safe. Drive. Get a designated driver. Enjoy the weekend. Stand by now for news.